You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. This is JD. He's special to the pod. And this is RBLR Sun.
Hello. Good morning.
And that's all the good news we had today.
I'm trying to bring energy and positivity to it, despite what the team would like me to do. Yeah, Liz, how are you doing?
I'm wearing my Eras Tour shirt because today is the 3-year anniversary of me going to the Eras Tour, and that's all the hope and joy I have for today.
Heard. Yeah, we were just talking pre-show about how it would be nice if the Tampa Bay Sun would enter a new era already.
a little bit, yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready for next season. Is it August yet?
Well, I also am doing okay. I did put on a Sun shirt. I was actually going to put on a Rays shirt, and I was like, I don't want people to see the thumbnail and be confused about what show it is. I do have an journalistic responsibility to represent that this is our show. And there's not a mutiny show, so I got away with the jersey last week.
But, true.
I decided I'll rep the Sun, you know, God forbid. But I do want to share some positivity that we have gotten from some listeners in the past week as well. I had a couple people either message me or talk to me at the game that mentioned they listened to the show and they appreciate what we're doing. Liz, I wanted to share that with you. And I really like to hear from people who listen to the show. I always joke that I'll argue with you in the comments on YouTube, but I also appreciate if there are positive comments. And in this past week, there were a couple, which is why that just made me think, like, thanks, guys. It's cool.
Constantly astounded that the people who, there are more than just my parents who watch this. Constantly astounded.
Yes, there are at least two other people that I spoke to that listened to the show. And bonkers, also I listen to it usually the day after also. So yeah, appreciate people letting us know they listen. And hey, sorry about another episode where we have to talk about a loss. Take it up with Tampa Bay Sun FC. Speaking of the team, somehow at this point, we're not eliminated yet from playoff contention. I think it's safe to say we are. Sunrise had us eliminated mathematically before the DC game. Or maybe it wasn't Sunrise. It was Ryan's model that he's running. But
yeah,
many people were saying, someone say we were eliminated 5 games ago. Just off of the vibes, and then we won 2 consolation games. But
yeah,
yes, very safe to say we're out of it.
Yeah,
including this result here on last Saturday when we fell to DC 2-0. Liz, we have to talk about it. Unfortunately, this is our volunteer job. What was the lineup for the match, and what do you think?
So we had DeCello, Weber, and Pokorny up top, Listro, Provenzano, and Shimkin, is like attacking mids, although it really seemed like Listro was doing more of a defensive mid thing. And then we had McNeil, Chisholm, Bissett, Henny as our backline with Wagner in goal. On the bench, we had Liz Beardsley, Sandrine Gaillard, Sienna Bryan, Maddie Parsons, Peyton Parsons, Carly Giamona, and Dory Haugen.
Yeah. One of the lineups of all time. Actually, I would say that this is my preferred lineup. I think Maddie could come in, but I would say that this is the best we have. I'm not kidding.
Wow. Okay.
With who we have, I would probably have Zaid on the bench if she was healthy. We know she's working through like a day-to-day thing.
How is Maddie Parsons not in your starting?
Well, the thing is that, well, that's why I was saying Maddie could probably come in, but if Maddie's not going to be in there, if we want her as a sub in the second half, then Shimkin would be my choice to be there. So this is like in the current condition of the Sun as it currently is. But I was reading Pokorny and said currently at the same time, and I said
currently.
Yes, I believe as the Sun like currently are, this is the best lineup we can muster, and we lost the game, so that says a lot. I think we did move some pieces around within this lineup that I ultimately think led to not our strongest showing. But if we're not starting, I mean, I would have Matty Parsons start. But otherwise, this is pretty much how I would have us go. And it's also interesting that we did not have our new signing, Hilferty, in on the bench.
Yeah, what the heck, man?
I don't know. I didn't check or I didn't see if she had an
injury. She was not. I double checked to see if they updated it. She is not injured, sick, you know,
yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, I don't think
where is Hilferty? Justice for Hilferty.
Yeah, I don't know if she would have been the difference maker. I don't know. Maybe she scores a hat trick in the second half. She subbed on or something. You don't know until you try. But yeah, not sure where she is. I mean, she just signed and then she subbed in.
She's a sign. We signed her, right?
Like, yeah.
She's not on loan. The only players we have on loan at this point are.
Weber,
right?
I think so. I wasn't prepared to be asked this question, so I don't remember.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, I did find that kind of weird that Hilferty wasn't in there and Brian was back. But again, we talk sometimes about that we don't see what happens in training. We don't know what people's, what players' conditions might be, even if they're not.
I have a theory.
Injured, you know, we don't know what exactly these day-to-day decisions. What's your theory? If you're gonna say it out loud, then I gotta ask you about it.
Okay. I think DSB thought we were gonna win this game, and that's why she brought Sienna Bryan, because Sienna Bryan only comes in. Nothing against her, she was on the academy squad last year, our sunshine squad, practice squad, whatever. She's very, very new. She really only gets minutes under her belt when we're already up by like two. And it'll be like the 80th. So I think DSB thought this game was going to go very, very differently.
And we didn't write down DC's lineup, but I agree with you because this lineup has not had Gourley for three matches now. And I think they found their footing. So this is really a case of like, say if we lost Sydney Nocello, teams playing against us would know that we're going to be weaker in attack because we don't have Sydney Nocello. But if we had to play three games in a row without her, the players that are filling that position or those spots for Sydney Nocello, many positions, would have their own systems worked out by that point. They've played, you know, three full games together. And I think that's what happened here with Theoret out, with Gourley out. DC's players have had, especially Gourley out for three matches in a row, they have found enough time with each other to get their feet underneath them. And they played a really solid game. And they look like if they add Gourley back into this mix now, I mean, they played against the Tampa Bay Sun, we're last place in the league. So them playing well in this game isn't necessarily that they're like contenders in the league, but they looked really solid. And I think that what I'm ultimately getting at is we underprepared because they don't have their strongest pieces, but the pieces that are filling in have had enough time to find that form. And yeah, I don't think this roster this lineup we brought out is necessarily playing down to them, playing down at the bottom, playing up. I don't think we necessarily were thinking it was in the bag, but I definitely agree that we made some changes kind of anticipating that they might be weaker in some places, that they actually are fine. And so that definitely, they were underrated. And I think that definitely played a role. And you might be right with your theory. That's a really long-winded way of saying that I kind of agree. So yeah, DC looks pretty good with who they have right now. And then if Gourley comes back, Theoret comes back, these are players that I respect a lot, then they're right outside of playoffs. You know, that's definitely something that they're still fighting for. Some teams are still in the playoff race. Who knew? We're not.
What's that like?
So without further ado, Liz, game kicks off. What's going on?
I think the game sets the tone right in the fifth minute. Provo trips over the ball and gives DC prime shot on goal. It is saved by Wegner, but I think the turf gremlins were out to get us. This match especially, like, the turf was turfing. Ball was bouncing so weird.
She just fully tripped over the ball. And that was also, I would say, a pretty early example of Walker just being very opportunistic in this match. She was constantly pressuring the back line. First of all, not sure why Provo was kind of fielding the ball as a center back. We were doing kind of like a back pass it around, play out the back maneuver. This absolutely could have been when playing it out the back goes wrong if she had converted the goal. Luckily, I will say, Wegener made a great diving save to her left. So, you know, early shout out there. But yeah, it was ultimately, like you said, a turf monster situation. And you hate to see it. Then in the 11th minute, not in the game, but Sam Goldfarb and Erica Timrak, shout out Erica Timrak, Tampa Bay Sun legend, were on the Peacock commentary, and they noticed something quite interesting. They said that Emery Wegener is getting way off her line. This is in the 11th minute. She's getting way off her line to help bolster the attack. She's pushing way up, and Erica says, look, this can be risky to do, but also it can give you an advantage because it isn't an extra player up the field. And so she was interested to see how that developed as we went through the rest of the game. Surely this can't be any kind of omen about less than 10 minutes later. So actually, shout out to Sam Goldfarb and Erica Timrak for noticing that on commentary and making an extremely timely observation that directly affected a goal a few minutes later. So yeah, and also always shout out Erica Timrak because you're a good player for us. But yeah, that was rough to hear knowing what was coming.
Yeah, especially rewatching it, knowing it's coming, and I'm watching it with Mike for the first time. She says that, and I'm like, keep what she said in mind.
Yeah,
just for a little bit.
Astute observation there.
Yeah. 1 minute later, we do get our first shot on target. McKenna Gottschalk does actually have to make a save, so that's something. However, the 18th minute, Alyssa Walker. As you were saying, always looking for that prime opportunity. Yep. Hold on. Sorry. You just said something about my mic, and then I was like, wait, let me fix it.
Okay. Well, I can talk through the goal while you work on that if you want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, Alyssa Walker scored a goal. This is the point of what we were getting at. So, Abera passes a through ball to Walker just on the ground between Bissett and Chisholm. Chisholm is staying with her as Walker makes like a run to the right side of the box. And Bissett is running like she's defending somebody, but there's nobody with her. There's nobody else making the run. Walker is the only DC player making a run forward. And so Chisholm stays on her with her, but does not step to challenge her. And the underlying context of all this is that Emery Wegener started this like play on the edge of the box or outside of the box. So she is way out of position. And as Walker gets the through ball from Abera, great time ball, Walker makes a little bit of a run. I think Chisholm doesn't realize that Walker has a shot. So Chisholm thinks that with Emery in goal, there's, you know, not, she's not going to get a shot off. She's going to wait for some of her team to come and support. And that's kind of what Bissett is waiting for. But what they don't realize is how far Wegener was out. And so Chisholm doesn't step to her. And Walker just sees a perfectly open back of the net behind Emery. So she chips a shot, you know, arching over. Emery doesn't even attempt to make a save. She doesn't reach up. She doesn't step back. She realizes that she gave it up. It's definitely a very well-placed finish. Could have gone over, could have gone wide. Walker did a fantastic job here to finish it and take advantage of that. I just, Bissett is doing nothing on this play. There's no one else making a run. If it's Sydney Nocello that makes the through run like that, there's two defenders on her for sure. And I think, I think Bissett and Chisholm should have covered her off. I think if you look at what's happening behind them, I believe it's Listro, and then it would be Hendricks on the other side. And they like also were in coverage. They had room to come back without being challenged by DC. Walker had no options. She had to take a shot herself because she was just going to lose the attacking movement to the defenders, and the defenders never stepped to her to stop her having an option. So then she had an option, she took it, and she finished it really well. So I, all three players, Emery being off her line allowed the opportunity to happen, but so did Chisholm not stepping to her. So did Bissett just kind of wandering into the middle of an empty box, not really covering anything. It would be different if there was somebody else making the run, if Bissett was under pressure, but I was pretty disappointed from all three players there. And it just sucked. It just wasn't something you like to see. So yes, Sam Goldfarb, good game IQ to see Emery doing that. And yeah, I have noticed it in her game as well. I think we've actually talked about it on the show, how she comes up a lot and there's always the risk of getting caught off, but that was like a mix of getting caught off and the defenders just not really having an understanding of like what was around them, which was nothing. And they absolutely could have pressured directly to the ball. So very unfortunate. Good finish, Walker. Come to the Tampa Bay Sun. I'm going to start campaigning now.
So it helps when I plug in my mic to the computer and not just like a charging cord so that it's on.
Welcome to the show. Nice to hear from you.
So yeah, that goal was just really frustrating to watch. I don't think Wegner, that's the first time Wegner's been caught off her line too. It's just disappointing.
I think it's the second time someone took an opportunistic shot like that against her, but I don't think it was on frame that time, but the other time she was caught out and it like would have been in if it was on frame. So I don't want to absolve her from responsibility. She has been playing a risky game. Also, we're last, so why not try things?
Yeah.
I understand the idea, the intention, but we were not even like on an attacking play, really. It was just kind of like the ball was being shuffled in the midfield that led into that sequence. So she probably should have, if I'm like saying what she should have done, it's that she probably should have stepped back sooner. Once the through ball was moving towards Walker, she's like, okay, we are not in possession. Or maybe when Ibarra just touches the ball at all, she's like, okay, we are not in possession. I'm immediately getting back into goal. And she didn't really do that timely enough. So.
And just to add insult to injury, like 6 minutes later in the 24th, DC gets a throw in. We're unable to clear it out. Paige gets it. Just the most beautiful, perfect cross into the box for a header for Deja Torbert, which is nice and on target just to double their lead.
Of course, it's easy when they do it. This is a sequence that I would love to see the Sun do more often. Just recycling the ball. We cleared it three times, I think, before. Well, we didn't clear it very well because they were able to get it back, but we attempted to clear it. We didn't allow a DC player in the box to take a shot until the very end. So they were able to successfully recycle it. And yeah, like you said, Paige just gets it at the top of the D pretty much and gets a wonderful cross in and just... Deja finds that room right on the post beyond Wegner's reach. And this is also the time of the game where you want Sun to be responding. And we did have some, I would say this entire game, we had attacking moments where we could have scored for sure. So we were not being played out of the game. There's been games where we've looked worse. I would say against Carolina, we looked worse in the attack, but we did not absorb the pressure nearly as well in this game. We had holes in our defense essentially that led to these kind of opportunities. In the previous games with Dallas and Carolina, we won the Dallas game, we lost the Carolina game. I was seeing a lot more intentional, aggressive ball control in the box. We were collecting it defensively and clearing it. And I felt like a relief a little bit, especially in the Dallas game because we won, that we understood what we wanted to do defensively and we were able to clear it and able to absorb pressure and then become a team that like absorbs a lot of pressure and then not necessarily like counterattack, but like stores up, builds up energy and then uses it in an attacking sequence that a couple times has led to goals. Not directly on a counterattack, but like, you know, we let them wear themselves out for 15 minutes and then we have a go. And this NDC just converted the chances and the holes opened up for them to do so in our defense. So yeah, just a really rough sequence and DC, instead of us having the energy to come back into the game, DC has the energy to close the game out essentially. you know, even though it's so early, still just the 24th minute, we didn't look like we were back in it until like the 80th minute. And by then it's too late. You know, it's not literally too late to score two goals, but mentally, you know, it's pretty late to get something going.
Yeah. And I have to say, this is where I was a little surprised that we didn't just make subs as soon as we could. Like, we waited, I guess at this point it would have been 20 more minutes. I think we should have just made subs now. Like, at this point, you're down by two. The plan is not working, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess the only risk with that is that you lose options later. And if we do come back into the game and we want to, you know, have the fresh legs to have a push right at the end using sub windows. Because remember, when we do subs at halftime, it doesn't use a window. Yeah. So maybe doing one sub to change something up, but also just using the hydration break. I mean, the hydration break doesn't come until after this. So you do get like a tactical rework. You do have time where the coach can talk to the whole team, which is like really the one time that you can do like a rework of the whole team, other than individual players kind of passing information and the coach yelling. And maybe we did make some changes. I didn't notice anything that was game changing after the hydration break. You know, maybe the players were given slightly different instructions about how to approach our possession and what to do off the ball too, but obviously it didn't make much of a difference. And maybe a sub would have made, you know, a difference. Different players have different experiences and different understandings of what to do in different situations. But, you know, it's all speculative, of course.
A couple more things happened in the first half, but honestly not a lot. 29th minute, Sid is uncharacteristically not selfish with the ball and cuts it across where McNeil unfortunately misses it. And actually might have been offside anyway, looking at it. Not entirely sure because the view wasn't great. But one of those times where Sid should have just taken it, and I think she actually might have gotten a goal there.
Yeah. She was being closed down pretty fast by the keeper, so I understand. It was almost like a fake out. It was almost she like winds up and then she actually hits it across the face of goal instead of taking the shot. She also might have found success doing like a fake shot dribble where she like winds up and like steps and like dribbles the ball. But she was being, the goalkeeper was coming out pretty aggressively as well. So I see why she did it. Yeah, she probably could have taken a shot there too, but then we would have been saying the same thing where she took a shot when she should have passed. So at the end of the day, she didn't score the goal. So it's just unfortunate.
38th minute, Alyssa Walker comes in with a nasty tackle and Jordy gets turf burn. And this is your weekly reminder that turf sucks and I wish we had grass.
It would be nice.
Yeah. 45th minute, we get one last attempt. Weber tries to chip the keeper. It's honestly our best chance all half.
Yeah. And this is a great attempt by her. I've spoken in the last few weeks about how she finds herself in good positions pretty frequently. And this is another one of those. And I think she gets one of her better like opportunities off in this one. She did force the keeper to you know, make a save. So I think she had a pretty good, like, it was a pretty good opportunity that she took. She's thinking more as she develops and learns more about how keepers play and how defenders play and how to find the holes and expose them. But in this instance, she didn't convert it. But another example of how good she can be getting through and finding that space. If only we had any kind of midfielders that could serve, you know, more opportunity. If she could do that six times a game, literally like six is like my lowest she converts, at least one of them for sure. You know, Weber finds those positions all the time. So if we could just deliver her enough service, I think she converts so regularly. That's our issue. So we don't have any service. So if our defense isn't perfect, we lose games.
Yeah. That's the half. We are down 2-0. We make two subs at halftime. We bring Sindrine in for Provo and we bring Carly in for Jilly. So now the lineup kind of looks more like with Nocello and Weber up top. Again, Gaillard, Giamona, Pecorni in the as like attacking mids. We have Lystrow still kind of in that central defensive midfielder position, and the back line remains the same.
Yeah. This part of the game, the second half, is when Lystrow settles a little bit into the defensive midfield role. I think Provenzano, you know the meme, I'm going to describe this and nobody listening is going to know what I'm talking about, where the Grim Reaper is going from door to door.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is Sidney Nocello going to individual players' positions and making them irrelevant. And she kind of did it to Pecorni this game. She kind of did it to Provenzano. I noticed Provenzano was getting a little bit more forward than she tends to do. And yeah. Lystra was playing the more defensive midfield. They're both like player profile wise defensive midfielders. That's where they shine. And as Lister settled into the second half, she contributed more in terms of like getting the ball off the defensive line and getting it forward. But yeah, she just with Nocello's motivation to be everywhere on the pitch, for better or for worse, players just totally disappear. Shimkin. I noticed Pecorni in a lot of the match because she didn't get subbed as early. But this has happened with Shimkin before, where she came off, at halftime in a game a couple months ago because Sidney Nocello erased her. Essentially, she's not finding, and it is partly her responsibility to find space and be open and make dribbles and retain possession. But also, if Sidney Nocello is always the fastest running player who has the best chance to get forward when she gets the ball, her teammates are going to see her as an option more frequently than the other players. So yeah, I think that was a deserved substitution. Unfortunately, I think this was one of Gabby Provenzano's worst games. Like, just the role she was supposed to be playing wasn't working for her, and Shimkin didn't make a statement for herself either. And why not get Giamona in there, who got us an opportunistic goal a couple weeks ago, is still our second top scorer on the season with 4 total, even though 3 of them were like in the first 4 games. And we just haven't had anyone scoring, like picking it up. I think now Parsons is on 2 or 3. So she might catch up before the end of the season, but either way, why not get them out there? I don't know about Gaillard as much. I do like Provenzano, maybe just adjusting her positioning and being like, hey, just play your normal, more defensive role in the second half. But again, we're down 2 goals also, so put attackers out. And I understand the motive to do that too. So, that's a toss up for me about which player to bring in or if you need that second sub. But I think both players were not having their best games.
47th minute. I didn't notice it at the time, and I wish I had. I think we had a potential river ball. That would have actually been kind of exciting.
It's hard to get a river ball, actually. There's a lot more bank than you think.
Yeah.
When you look at it. Right there.
58th minute. We do get a shot from Carly Giamona. It's off the crossbar. It was everything we could do to just not get a goal. This game, it felt like. Pecorni gets a yellow in the 61st. Sandrine gets like 2 chances in the 62nd. Chisholm gets a chance in the 65th and just skies it.
We are definitely on the front foot in the second half. Majority of the possession, majority of the opportunities. We're getting corners very frequently. We, like, it's not for lack of trying, brought out attacking substitutions and absolutely had the opportunities to get at least 1 back and give ourselves some energy. And like you said, skies it, crossbars it, just unlucky.
66th minute, we bring in Maddie Parsons for Pecorni. And Nocello gets like a mazy run in. It causes the keeper to get a cramp. So we do get a minute to talk at least. So that's something. And right after that, Weber gets another shot from outside the box. It goes just high. 73rd minute, we bring Haugen in for McNeil. which McNeil did not have a great game, but that seems like an odd sub to me. I would have we sub Henny later, but I would have subbed Teddy by now. 76th minute, Nocello actually passes. Maddie tries to get it, but her touch puts it a little bit too far. She doesn't quite get a good touch on it, and then her touch puts it too far for Giamona, who's like diagonally behind her. It's just a mess. It was just such a frustrating match. I can't imagine how the players feel. Maddie gets a cross in. It's just off target. It gets deflected. At this point, our lineup kind of is looking more like Maddie Parsons and Weber up top, Gaillard, Giamona, and Acello right behind, Listro in the middle. And then we have Peyton Parsons come on for Brooke Hendricks, and she is our left back with Chisholm, Bissett, and Haugen following. I think that's interesting. I would have put maybe Bissett as a left or a right back. I can't remember which one she plays specifically, but
yeah.
90 plus six, Maddie tries getting a consolation goal shot, and that's pretty much game.
Yeah. No notes. I had no notes in the second half. I mean, obviously there's subtle changes here and there, and the subs changed the look of the way the team lined up. But I think, I don't know, sometimes you just feel it in the air that it's not your night. And it cannot be your night a couple times a season, but when it's not your night and you need every night, you know, you need every single game to even get off. I mean, we need games to get off the bottom. And I think you mentioned this earlier in the season, like kind of when we got back from the midseason break, where like your goal was to just be off the bottom. I thought we were better than that for sure.
Nope.
And we are absolutely not. So we need games to get off the bottom. You know, I don't know if we see that happening. But this was I'm not even going to say that this was a bad half. I'm not going to say that we looked bad. We brought out attacking subs. We used them correctly, I would say. We had opportunities. DC, obviously knowing they're up two, are just defending, like, again, not abnormally. They're just all focused on defense, not allowing us to get that goal. They're playing really structured. They're playing really disciplined. And so we did not have the most terrible half. DC had a good half in terms of defending a two-goal lead, you know, the most dangerous lead. And we tried almost everything we can. And it just gives me the feeling overall that this group of players doesn't work for us. I'm not going to name individual players that I think have been bad. Every single player in this lineup, including the subs, has had moments this season where I see what gets them a pro contract. I see why they're on a team. I see what DSP sees in them. And all of them have also had moments where they should have been subbed in 20 minutes. They should have been subbed in 10 minutes from the beginning of the game. And they've just had terrible games. And that is, to me, indicative of something just not working in the system. And this group of players, maybe their instincts just tell them to overlap a lot and get in each other's way a lot. And I see that a lot in our midfield. The heat map of this game looked a lot like those early spring games, the first few, where we like didn't know who was going wide at all. And this heat map, we still don't know who's going wide. The only player that we've had all season that I can definitively tell you plays the touchline is Jordan Zaid. And then she's had her own issues with consistency and also accuracy on crosses and getting it into advantageous areas. You know, she's quick, but you know, she hasn't been the most contributive player in terms of assists, which is like your goal when you're a winger. So again, not for lack of trying, I just this roster just isn't clicking. We're just not working. Nocello steps on some toes, but she's also the MVP for a reason. She might be one of the best players, if not the best player in the league. Absolutely a deserved recognition of her, but then we have to figure out how to play around that, and we are not figuring that out, and the players around her are not helping her, and then she's not helping them. And it's not an animosity thing. I'm sure they're all I mean, we see it on Instagram. They're all friends and it seems like we have a great vibe, and I don't see any contentious anything. I mean, Nacella is hot headed towards the end of games. That's just frustration. She wants to win. But yeah, I didn't think I was going to get into that. Right. But that's how this half makes me feel. That's how the Sun make me feel. And we have to turn over the roster in some way. This just group of players just don't play together well. I think we just found that out. Unfortunately, across the whole season, made some changes and it's still not working. So it's crazy.
It's hard to disagree when we had 10 corners and did, I'm going to use the one for this, we did fuck all with them.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple different, I was actually impressed. Wow. That's bad to say. But I was impressed when we got the ball like into the 6-yard box. I was impressed when the keeper didn't catch it. I was impressed when it didn't go past everybody, but there were only like two or three that was the case. There was one that went past everybody. There was two the keeper caught easily. We did less of our short corners, which take or leave. We're just not recycling it. We're not gaining possession. On DC's second goal, every second ball is theirs. Every time the ball gets jumbled at all, there's a DC player there to receive it. And when we are in the same situation with four or five attacking players in and around the box attempting to find the space and take a shot, we don't get the second ball. A DC player ended up with it again. So again, this is like why it's not an individual player. And I don't even know if it's like the formation or the system. Like I said, it's like something about the instinct of the way these players play. These are moments where you're not thinking about, okay, what player did coach tell me to mark and anything like that. It's like, it's just a matter of instinctually, we're not finding space for each other. We're not putting the ball into space for each other. And it looks really bad in a game like this where DC isn't even one of the top teams in the table and we can't score a goal on them. And we allow them, you know, like I said, the first goal was just a mistake that three players share. And then the second goal was just really well worked from DC. They just did a great job on it. So very, very frustrating. Yeah, not even a lot of offsides. It's not like we were caught out. We've netted goals that were offside in the past and were called back. That was not the case this game. The ball did not touch the back of the net off our feet. But we got 4 yellow cards, so maybe we're being more aggressive. That's something you asked for, right?
Yeah, fair.
We did have the majority of the possession. We had 51.7% possession. I warmed up. I knew I could get it first try.
There you go.
And yeah, DC, I mean, didn't look statistically that different from us. They only had 3 corners total. So they were not, I mean, they didn't really have, especially in the second half, a lot of quality opportunities towards our net, but I don't think they needed to or wanted to. Like, they were obviously playing with a lead. And once we didn't get one, the deeper into the game it got, they could just sit back more and more. You know, especially after their second goal, they were playing to score more for sure. They were playing on the front foot. They were shutting us down by holding possession. And in the second half, they just let us have it. Because even if we got one in the 80th minute, they know they could probably hold. So, you know, they just played back more. So the stats definitely reflect that the Sun pushed for more of the game. But that was when we were already down 2. You know, those goals came so early. So, yeah. And overall, like I said, just this was a rough game for a couple of our players. And then even Nacello, I think, had like a below average game. She wasn't finding the space she normally finds. Like I said, we're overlapping a lot in that central midfield. And you know, the impetus, the point of, you know, origin for so many attacking plays is through like the 10 role. And like, we don't really have a 10. And then we don't really have like, we have like 5 players who want to be in that area, 4 players that want to be in that area. And so like our heat maps are literally like goalkeeper to defense to midfield. And then like Faith Weber's up there. Like that's just like what our heat maps look like. Like, you know, normally there's supposed to be a web and there's supposed to be more options. That's, I don't know if I visualized that well, but that felt pretty good. But we don't have a web. We have a diamond shape. They're out there playing baseball. So yes, but we do like to try to have a player of a match of the match. Liz, who did you think did the best out there?
I have to, it was kind of hard. I'm not going to lie.
I agree.
I'm just going to go with yours and say Weber, honestly. There were a couple of moments where I was a little confused what she was doing, or when she would stop on a run. I didn't really get, but she did at least take a couple shots on goal that were decent. So I got to hand her that.
Yeah. Yeah. As always, Weber came out with a lot of energy. She had the first opportunity of the game in like the fourth minute, like you recapped. So I think she deserves player of the match, but only because she was the least bad. And if we're not getting any service, she can't do anything with it. She had two quality opportunities. And like I said, you get her five, you get her six in a game, which is, it's a 90 minute game. You got plenty of time to give, yeah, you know, a hot shot striker some opportunities to get some shots off. And if you give her five or six in a game, I think she scores at least one, if not more than one. So that is really like our problem. She did find herself in space a couple times. She did take a couple shots. You know, Gostrak did a great job saving at least one of them that I like just remember off the top of my head. So Faith Weber, NT, go next. GG, go next. I hope that if she is on our team into next year, I think we signed her probably hopefully for at least the calendar year. If she's on our team, figure out who can serve her, figure out who can get her the ball. And Maddie Picorni too. I wouldn't mind them as a striker duo. They both, I think they've assisted each other now, or maybe Weber hasn't assisted Picorni, and also Maddie Parsons being up there. Like there's a couple options, but we can't get it out of the midfield, we don't have options. So
yeah, we have and this is going back a year, but Flo Nielsen was a very integral piece to our championship season for a reason. She helped score that one and only goal in extra time against Fort Lauderdale in the championship. It was her, Nisello, and Giamona were this like triangle that worked so well together. I think they were, it was just the three of them like leading and like assists, like what, like one would assist the other kind of thing. It was a whole, we never really replaced her is the problem. Yeah. We never found someone who was, you know, well, actually we did. And then they got recalled. I'm going to say Jordan Fusco was the closest we got to that kind of real replacement, who just had that really nice final touch on the ball. And not to say that our players don't have a good touch. It's just something you need, that little something where you always have another player running up with you. Or running ahead to get the ball. And we just haven't been connecting those passes at all.
Yeah. I want to circle back to what I said. Eureka, super producer Eureka, reminded me. Yeah, Weber's on loan, so we're not going to get her next season.
Okay.
So I forgot about that. I remembered. I mean, maybe if we buy her out, if we like her, you know, if she's on loan.
We can't afford Denver.
Well, if she's on loan for one, we have a player there that we don't know what the term of her contract is. So maybe we just do maybe a loan trade turns into a permanent transfer trade. We don't know. We don't know what could happen. What if she's being loaned to us for the remainder of our season, which is the beginning of Denver's season, they do not have her in their plans. So,
okay. That's fair.
If we don't know anything, then in my mind, anything is possible. And we currently do not know the terms of Tosh Flint's regularity there. We knew that she was on loan through March, and then March came and went, and neither team I have looked, unless it happened today, which would be like classic RBLR Sun. That something happened the day we post the podcast. We don't have any public information about, you know, what ultimately her contract terms look like. So, you know, it'd be cool to have Faith Weber involved longer than this season, but yes, I was reminded she was on loan. So unfortunately, we're going to have to find another striker. Or we let Maddie cook, you know, and play her permanently up there. But that is a conversation for the future. I can't wait until the off season and I can just start saying more wild stuff on the show. And
oh, so you say that, and then the Sun puts you through a drought of information where you're just waiting for crumbs.
I'll just make stuff up. I'll just start recapping my Counter-Strike games.
I'm going to quit.
So that's Sun DC. It's in the books. It's history. DC increased by 2,000,000%, whatever, however percentages work, the goals they've ever scored against us before this game. Mm-hmm. It only ever scored one goal against us. It is now 3, and 2 of those are in the same game. So that's rough, but what are we going to do? We got to move on to the future. And I wanted to give a table update. I don't know if you guys are anything like me, but if you are, you do not pay attention to the rest of the league until the podcast that you're on implies that you need to. So I have casually
watch other games.
Yeah, well, you know, but this is consistent. This isn't like I don't watch the Super League. It's like I only watch my teams in every league. But I wanted to give you guys a table update so you can understand how the rest of the league is looking, because we're out of it. So if you want to watch some playoff, some Gainbridge Super League playoffs this year, let me know. Let me tell you which teams you are likely to see. So Jacksonville has been the class of the league all year. They are up top on 47 points, 7 points clear of second place. Second place is Lexington. We play Lexington next. and they're on 40 points. And Carolina actually has done a great job for themselves this spring. They beat us twice, but they have also beat other teams, and they are on 39 points. So for a while there, it looked like Jacksonville and Lexington were clear at the top of the league as a duo. But Lexington lost a couple, Carolina climbed. And so Carolina is right there with them on 39 and could finish second.
Would you say Carolina made an ascent?
All right, buddy. Are we going to rage bait each other until we figure out which one of us quits first? So behind Carolina is Dallas, and Dallas, DC, Spokane, and Brooklyn are very close with each other. So we're talking fourth is the very last playoff spot. And then DC is in fifth, Spokane is in sixth, and Brooklyn is in seventh. And their spread is from 32 points, 29 points, 26 points, 25 points. So that is, I mean, 25 to 32 is a lot of points. So it's unlikely that Brooklyn makes that climb. But between Dallas and DC, for sure, there's one game in that. And then from there, Spokane is one more game behind. So if any of these teams go on a multi-game losing streak, there's three teams ready to take their place into the playoffs. The absolute bottom of the barrel is the two most southern teams in the Super League, I believe. Tampa Bay Sun, Fort Lauderdale United, not geographical order. The Sun are more north. This is my hard-hitting analysis. The Sun are more north, but are more south on the table, unfortunately. So Fort Lauderdale is on 23, and the Sun are on 21 points on the season. We could still catch them for eighth. Maybe that's what we're hoping for.
I want to win or tie 3 games.
Yes.
We just have to finish above them, because if we don't finish above them, this is the bare minimum we're talking here.
Well, let me just ease your mind a little bit. If we don't finish above them, I can't name a single Fort Lauderdale United fan that will talk shit to you. So, you know, you don't have to, you'll feel bad.
The New River Raiders on Instagram might.
Well, I don't know. I can't name any of them, at least.
No, I don't know any of them.
But. Yes. I'm not going to go through all the goal differential. Essentially, we've lost 10. So has Fort Lauderdale. Brooklyn's lost 11. Spokane, DC, and Dallas have lost 9. So we are not out the bottom because we have lost all of our games. We have the same amount of losses or even less losses than teams that are above us on the table. We are down here because we have 9 draws and only 4 wins, whereas all the teams above us have 6, 7, 9 wins, obviously at the top of the table. Jacksonville and Lexington have double digit wins, but they are the only two that have like way less losses. So it's been a close table. That's why there's essentially 4 teams in it for this last playoff spot. Again, Brooklyn looks like a little bit of a long shot, but you know, we could see them make a go right at the end of it. But
they have everybody else has like a game in hand on them. I don't know.
That's true. That. Yeah, Dallas and Spokane have a game in hand. But still 3 teams in it, you know, for that last playoff spot. It's been close. So that's why it looked promising for us. Ultimately, if we did win these games, you know, if we lost to Carolina last week, but we didn't lose, you know, maybe the first Carolina game and this game against DC, it's like we would have been almost right there with them. Yeah. But we lost those games and we're bad. So that's where we're at. And I want to also say, I've been corrected twice now on the podcast by Super Producer Rika. Actually, this is not a correction, just additional information. It was announced that Summit essentially had until April 10th to purchase her contract or she would come back. So from that, we can directly imply that they did buy out Tosh Flint and she is a permanent player there while Weber is still on loan. So my contract trading hopes may be dead, but...
Nothing's officially confirmed, but I mean, I feel like they would have sent her back by now or we would have heard something, and or she and her wife would not be up there right at this moment.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say, though, that it is a little bit surprising to me that we did get no thank you post from the Sun. Actually, I went back because this was asked of me last week or 2 weeks ago, if there was a thank you post at all or if either team had said anything. And I went all the way back and the announcement of her going to Denver also was not a thank you post. It was like there's a loan with an option to buy post. And she does, I think, deserve a thank you from the team. I mean, we obviously thank all our players when they leave, you know, as we should. But the fact that seemingly her contract was bought by Denver, that is the terms of the loan, and she's still there. She like is a permanent transfer and we never said anything about it on socials. So that's why I had like some kind of reservation about that. It might be different. I don't know, if the Sun maybe just missed it or if they're planning on waiting until the end of the season, or if they're planning on waiting a little bit longer. I don't know. It's only been theoretically, it's only been a few days since she's been like fully purchased, but she has been heavily involved there. So we knew she was going to be staying.
I know when they're going to announce it.
How do you? Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. When this when this posts, that's when they'll announce it. Yeah. Yes.
Or we just remind
them. I'm psychic. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Tosh Flint. We'll do it. I don't mind saying thanks. And
thank you, Tosh Flint. It was really cool to meet you at the airport.
Yeah. So anyways, enough Tosh Flint watch. Might make me cry. We have a game coming up. It is. It is coming up on April 18th. And that is Saturday up in Lexington, Kentucky, 5 p.m. on Peacock. Still no watch party news. We don't know where people are watching games other than their home. So.
No, watch party at Liz's house. Everybody come to Liz's house. I have a super tiny apartment and I'm surrounded by old people who hate noise, so it'll be just a banger of a party.
So we're gonna like put the TV in the driveway. I'll stand outside. It's at 5 p.m. That's got to be before any kind of noise ordinance, right?
That doesn't matter to them. They just no noise, none.
Oh, okay. So we're playing against Lexington. There will be, I don't know, how have they been attendance wise? I feel like they've been doing pretty good. The men's team, I heard, had a really good debut, but I feel like they maybe have been neglecting the women's team now that the men's team has started.
But, no. You mean like Brooklyn?
Like every team?
Brooklyn was egregious though. Brooklyn like put out like ads and only put the men's team on it. Like
I saw that they didn't even have ads for like the women's game at the men's game. That was like a really well attended men's game. So, well, what I was trying to do, because you know I'm always trying to cook a segue, was I was trying to determine the level of noise that'll be at Lexington Stadium away, which with 1800 average attendance, thank you, Eureka, seems like not as much noise, maybe a big gym amount of noise, what we've been experiencing at the Sun games this season in the same ballpark.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a rough one. Lexington did just lose to Carolina 1-0. Carolina, again, they have been on the come up and they are just a really well-drilled team. So while I was surprised, it wasn't like obviously wasn't out of the realm of possibility. Lexington is also down Amina Ekic at the moment, who is on international duty. And while she is not like the core of the team, necessarily, there's a lot of great players. Sometimes, you know, it's just like DC when they lost the two and then they picked it up in against us. They figured out how to function without one of their better players. They, you know, fixed the system. I don't see us winning this match. Catherine Berry leads in most goals in the league at 12. Kat Asman is second for saves. She's second for clean sheets, only behind Sporting Jax, who is number one, so it's not that surprising. Lexington is second in goals, only second to Jacksonville. They are last, actually, in goals conceded, second only to Jacksonville. So I don't have high hopes for this one.
Well, what's your prediction, Liz? What's your low hope prediction?
Two one loss.
Wow, you think we're gonna score on the team that's allowed the least goals in this whole year?
Well, I can't copy Eureka.
Eureka says he believes a 2-0 loss. Well, he was right last week when I ribbed him about us not scoring any against CC. He was totally right. I think the Sun are going to win 4-0. I have no intention to be taken seriously. I do try very hard to do good research for the show. I want to present an accurate understanding of the game, and I'm very passionate about this team that we love. But I also want to remind everybody that I joined halfway through the season when the predictions game was already ongoing, and I was given no kind of like handicap, no way to get into the game. So I think I'm on 2 points for the whole season, which was predicting the correct result but not the score. So I'm going to say a 4-0 Sun win, and if it happens, I look incredible and genius. And if it doesn't happen, I look the exact same as every week where I've just been wrong every time. Because I almost always predict a Sun win, and we have not won. We won a couple times, but, you know. So 4-0 Sun. Lexington's going to get exposed. You're going to see the best of this roster that you've ever seen. Everyone's going to be healthy again. Yuki Watari is going to play. It's going to be unbelievable. Appointment viewing, 5 o'clock Saturday on Peacock. Be there. What? I gotta do something. I gotta bring some energy.
I mean,
why not chaos?
You know what? Yeah.
We're gonna sit here and be sad about our team. No, we're gonna sit here and be sad about our team, but we're gonna say weird, goofy stuff about it. That's how we. This is how we win. They can't.
I think you're just trying to be DSB's favorite.
Yeah. Well, we will have plenty of things to say about DSB and the roster once we are at the end of the season and decisions are made and we can see what's going on. We don't know anything about, surely there's pressure on the coach when you're in last place. There's no shying away from that. But, you know, I think we're seeing out a few of these games before we really know what's going to be going on heading into next season for the team. So while we're in this no man's land, I'm going to goof off with my score predictions because nothing matters anyways, you know? Welcome to nihilism. I've been beaten down by
RBLR Nihilism FC.
Well, I predicted a 4-0 Sun win, so that's not necessarily nihilist.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe I'm just losing my mind. Anyways, yeah. Thanks for watching another week of us recapping a loss. It's incredible that you guys tune in still. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. Make sure that you are subscribed on the YouTube where you can see our beautiful faces. And sometimes cats, but not today, apparently. It's at RBLR Sports on YouTube and at RBLR Sun FC on all the socials. Make sure you follow. That's where you can find out very interesting news, like the tidbit where JD recapped that we Tosh Fluent had until April 10th. RBLR put that information out. Otherwise, I don't think we would have known at all.
Yes. We're asking the hard-hitting questions behind the scenes to be able to drip feed news every once in a while, because that's how the whole league operates.
Basically. Make sure you check out shop.rblrsports.com and use code HEATWAVE for 10% off. We have some cool designs in there for all your sports fans.
Yeah.
JD, I just want to say I really hope you're right. I hope your prediction is correct.
Y'all are doubting right now. I see all of you guys saying that JD guy, he's an insane person.
Yeah.
He should be institutionalized. Well, that may be true, but we're winning 4-0 on Saturday. I'll put it out. You, next season, you're going to see me in true form, you know, because I'm literally, I don't know, I'm going to like take a class or something about how to predict scores. And I'll be really good at it next year. But this year, you know, there's no reason not to goof off.
I like your verbal commitment already to next year that is now legally binding and irrevocable.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be here.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.